He just took those copies. This mizmor, I think Svadim also said this mizmor, if I'm not mistaken. The mizmor of Votki HaShofar. You see what I'm talking about? Everyone have it? No one have it? This is mizmor Mem Zayin. I'll tell you what I would like to do. Shekrach. Ashrei Mishabolakan the iPad the other. Okay, anyway, the Gemara says, Ashrei Mishabolakan, happy is the person who comes after 120 years. V'talmud abiyada. But your generation is going to say, here Hashem, here's my iPod. Ashrei Mishabolakan, my iPod the other. Okay, so now, Mizmor Mem Zayin, what I would like to do here, Adam, I'm happy you're in good spirits. You always are. I would like to. Mem Zayin, there's only one on this page as far as I know. Actually, you are right. Mem Zayin is the Mizmor that Ashkenazim, I think Sfadim also say it, no? Before Tkiat Shofar. You see where it says, Lanatzech and the Korach Mizmor. So what I did was I just Xeroxed the Mizmor like this. However, I have another Xerox, which I'm not giving to you. Because I want you to see, I want to see how you can divide this Mizmor and look for some of the elements that I will. Hopefully, yes, Hashem, in the course of time, you'll be able to figure out what I'm talking about. Let's just read the Mizmor first and get a general sense of what it's referring to, and then try to break the Mizmor down into its, shall we say, component parts. First, let's just read the Mizmor and translate it. La'matzeach ne'korach Mizmor. This clearly is the Hakdama, is the preamble, the introduction to this Mizmor. As you know, I think I mentioned once or twice that the Gemara says about Basra, I don't know if you got to it yet, that most of the Mizmorim and Tehillim were written by whom? By David HaMelech. However, David HaMelech was also assisted by Asara Zakenim. And then we have also different Mizmorim that are ascribed to different people. This one is ascribed to Vinei Korach. I'm not going to discuss that element right now because I'm not really that interested in it. However, there is one aspect that I am interested in, and that is that I want you to tell me what the connection between Vinei Korach and this Mizmor is. So if you're familiar with the Rashi and Chumash, you'll be able to tell it to me miyad. If you're not familiar with the Rashi and Chumash, oy vavoy. But you are familiar with this Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash. In the Parsha of Korach, correct? Korach, we know, was swallowed up. However, the Pasuk says, of Bnei Korach, lo mesu. They didn't die. Why did they not die, the Bnei Korach? Rashi has a comment. Because? Exactly. Rashi comments. It's a very striking Rashi. I don't have it in front of me right now, but Rashi said, "Nisbatzil lehem makom begehenem," and somehow they did. I'll take a chumash. And Rashi comments, they did tshuva, and what did they say? Or what are they continually saying? That's what Rashi comments over there. Says Rashi, "Moshe emes v'tzarasa emes." Unbelievable Rashi. You know, basically they came to a hakara that which their father and his associate conspirators had done was obviously behavior that was absolutely unfounded, and as a result, they did tshuva. And that's what the pasuk says, "Uvnei Korach lo mesa." So perhaps one could, based on that Rashi, understand the connection to this mizmor. And in a minute, you will tell me what that connection is. I'm not going to read the whole Rashi right now. La'matzech uvnei Korach mizmor. I just want to translate the words first. This mizmor, by the way, is said by Ashkenazim before Tkiyas Shofar how many times?
Seven
times. The number seven is quite significant, but that's also not for discussion right now. That needs a separate discussion. In general, the number seven, the Maral points out, is always the number which is Teva. Above seven is eight. Eight is Lamala Mana Teva. So somehow, this seems to be related to Teva. Yosef is amazed that I heard of the Maral Biprag. I even mentioned the Maral Biprag. Here and there, I have some connection to Maral. Not your kind of connection, not as profound as yours, but here and there, I've had some connection with him. Kol ha'amim tikul chaf. Let's have a little translation. Kol ha'amim, all the nations, tikul chaf. What does tikul chaf mean? What is tkiyas kaf? Anyone know what the word tkiyas kaf is? When you make a tkiyas kaf with someone? You join hands, correct? Kol ha'amim tikul chaf. Usually there's an expression in Hebrew, modern Hebrew, called tkiat kaf. Tkiat kaf. In the jewelry district, when they go ahead and broker a deal, how is the deal concretized? How is it consummated?
Handshake.
Tkiat kaf. That's the expression that's used in modern Hebrew, Yosef. Kol ha'amim tikul chav. So what does that mean? All the nations will what? Will join hands. Hariu l'elokim b'kol rina. Meaning they will cry out l'elokim b'kol rina. Everyone knows what the word rina means, I assume. That refers to song and the like. What exactly are they crying out? So apparently the pasuk that follows upon the heels of this one is sort of an explanation for the first phenomena that we encounter. Ki Hashem Elyon Nora Melech Gadol HaKol Aretz. That Hashem is what? Elyon? Above, correct. Nora, awesome. Melech Gadol HaKol Aretz. He's a great king over the earth. As you know, that this very much is in sync clearly with the whole theme of Rosh Hashanah, because what's the major theme of Rosh Hashanah? The epicenter of Rosh Hashanah is Malchios, the fact that we are being Mamluch Hashem. I always mention the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya writes that Rosh Hashanah, he calls it the night of coronation, the night that we crown the king. Hashem is crowned as king of the universe. So that you'll see clearly here, the idea of Malchus is woven through and interspersed throughout the entire Mizmar. What was that? First the Maral, then the Baal HaTanya. Ki Hashem Elyon Nora Melech Gadol HaKol Haaretz. Then a word that probably you're not so familiar with, but you should really be familiar with. I just, before I go further, again, the idea of Tikul Chaf, Tkias Kaf, refers to Mechias Kapayim. What does it mean, Shem Mechim Kapayim? Yosef is good today. What's Mechias Kapayim? Clapping, clapping in the hands. So Tkias Kaf is a kind of Mechias Kapayim. And generally, in Tanakh, you find actually this expression used either when there's an atmosphere of simcha, of great joy, or you also find in Tanakh, for example, Malachim Beis, you find when, I believe, Yoash was actually coronated as a king, this kind of language is used. And the language refers to Hamlochas Melech. When a king is being crowned, coronated, see? So that's when you use this kind of language. So two different situations where this language fits. And you have a number of times in Tanakh this expression. Let's go further. Then we read actually a bit further. Yadber Amim Tachteinu. That's a word that's not so well known, even though those who say the tefillah b'yad shalom b'dinas Yisrael. Some say, some don't say it. Some just go to sleep. But there that word appears. What does the word yadber mean? Anyone know what the word means, yadber? It doesn't mean yidaber. Yidaber means to speak. But yadber is a totally different word. It means lahanhig. What does lahanhig mean? To rule, correct. To rule over. Yadber admim tachteinu. What does that mean exactly? It means, what's happening? Nations are going to be ruled tachteinu. Tachteinu, under whom? Us, meaning Klal Yisrael. Ulu'umim, that word parallels which other word? Amim, correct. Tachas Ragleinu. So here we have a parallel between tachteinu and Ragleinu and Amim and Lu'umim. Those, they're going to be somehow subdued. There's clearly a parallel between those two expressions. It's a lashon of hachno. Hachno means they're going to be subdued. That's the language of yadber. I continue. Yivchad lanu es nachlaseinu es gon Yaakov asher ohev sela. Now here also, let me just point out another parallel in this pasuk as well. Namely, the word gon Yaakov parallels which expression in the beginning of the pasuk? Notice the pasuk is divided into two segments. Each pasuk here really is divided into two segments. If you look back again, let's say the beginning. Kol ha'amim tikul chaf parallels hariyu l'elokim b'kol rina. Means which two words parallel there? Tikul chaf with hariyu l'elokim, correct? Next, ki Hashem elyon nora. Hashem is awesome and transcendental, and that parallels melech god al kol aretz. Next pasuk. Yad be'amim tachteinu parallels lumim tachas vagleinu. Now we continue along those lines. Yivcha lanu es nachlaseinu. Translate. What does it mean? Yivcha lanu es nachlaseinu. Yes. Gaon Yaakov asher eisela. So, what does nachlaseinu refer to? Nachlaseinu refers to which land? Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Menasseh here writes. But it's a pasuk pshat. Ad nachala. And who is choosing? Who is doing the choosing? He says. Yivcha lanu es nachlaseinu. Who? Yivcha refers to whom? Who? Hashem. Yivcha lanu will choose for us ad nachala Eretz Yisrael. As Gaon Yaakov. So what does Gaon Yaakov mean? That's a very difficult expression. We don't even know what the word means. What's Gaon Yaakov refer to? What does it mean, Gaon Yaakov? Asher Ahev Sela. What does that refer to? Gaon, what does the word Gaon mean? Gaon means pride, or we know the word Gaon means they call people up HaGaon. That was a few weeks ago. I was at a chassid and they called me up Hagom. So I didn't go up because I'm not a Gom. So if you call me Harav Avishai David, I will go up and get a bracha. If you call me Hagom, then the Torah says, Basin Chumash, Mitvashek Etirchok. So they might even go up. Anyway, Gaon Yaakov, the word Gaon could either refer to pride, or Gaon could refer to a great Gaon, etc. But what does it mean over here? Yivcha Lonos Nachlasenu as Gaon Yaakov Asher HaYisela. What does that mean? What does Gaon Yaakov refer to? So apparently, it parallels which word, as you said? Nachlasenu. But what does it refer to? So some say, the Mitzvah, I think, says it refers to the Beis Hamikdash. Beis Hamikdash is the pride of Yaakov. So that parallels Nachla. Asher HaYisela. Now the word Sela, I assume you're familiar with it. What does that word mean?
Forever.
But often in Tanakh, whenever the word Sela is used, especially in Tehillim, it actually indicates, according to many, some sort of musical note. There's some sort of musical element attached with the word Sela. But I would just tell you a bit further, especially if you learn Tanakh and you want to see structure, Sela often implies the end of a segment. That's why it's used. So either it means the Olam Voed, forever, or some sort of a musical note, or, as I said, it seems to imply the end of a section, the end of a segment. And we'll see here that that may very well be in place. I continue. Olo Elokim Bisrua, Hashem Bekol Shofar, one of the most famous psukim in Tanakh. The Ramban does wonders with this pasuk. The Ramban is Drashat Rosh Hashanah, the Ramban is Perish Al HaTorah. Anywhere you encounter the Ramban, you encounter this pasuk. What's the problem with this pasuk? There are, again, there's a parallel between, just tell me all the parallels. Number one, a parallel between A and B. A is the word Elohim. That parallels what?
Hashem.
Hashem, correct. Next, Bitrua parallels Shofar. You see all the doubling over here that's taking place. However, there's a fundamental distinction between Elohim and Hashem that you very well know according to most Rishonim. Elohim represents what Bida? Bida Sadin, correct. And Hashem represents the Midah of Rachamim. So what has happened? Olo Elohim Bisrua. Trua, if you know the Ramban in Chumash, which I imagine you do, the Ramban is Rosh and the Ramban in Chumash, Trua is, shall we say, here in opposition to Kol Shofar. So if the first sound, Trua, is associated with Elohim, then Hashem, the other name of Hashem, is associated with Kol Shofar, which refers to which Kol of the Shofar? The Tkia. The Tkia. Because there's a... The Tkiyah and Trua, if you will, are engaged in a kind of, how shall I say, tug of war. What's the tug of war between the Trua and the Tkiyah? The tug of war is the following. Rosh Hashanah is called, has four names. What are the four names of Rosh Hashanah? One is Rosh Hashanah, two, Yom Trua, three, Yom Adin, and four, excellent. You are astounding me. Baruch Hashem. Four names. The Torah calls Rosh Hashanah. Does the Torah use the name Rosh Hashanah? No, the Ramban Chumash deals with this issue. What does the Torah call it? Yom Teruah Yielachem. The Ramban proves throughout Tanakh that there's a distinction between the Kol of Teruah and the Kol of Tkiyah. What's the difference between them? Says the Ramban, the Kol of Teruah always occurs in a context of Milchama, in a context of war, in a context of Tsar. The Ramban gives examples. I'll give you one example. The Pasuk says, when war breaks out in Eretz Yisrael, al hatzar hatzorer eschem, against your enemy, v'hareosem machatzotzos, v'hareosem loshen trua. Trua is always found in the context of din, when there's harsh, shall we say, punishment, when there's a sense of tzar and retribution and onesh, that's trua. The loshen of tzkiyah is a loshen that found, says the Ramban in Tanakh, always in the context of simcha, when the rachm of Hashem is mit-orer. The Rachman Hashem is going to be aroused. For example, the Pasuk says, "Uviyom simchaschem muadechem pashem baloischa." Uviyom simchaschem muadechem roshi chachechem uskatem achatotzos. You blow chatotzos when? Uviyom simchaschem muadechem roshi chachechem. On a simcha, on a moed, on Rosh Chodesh, that's when you blow the chatotzos. So the lashon of tzkiyah. So what's going on here in this Pasuk? The answer is, there's a kind of tug of war, a skirmish, if you will, a collision between two different forces. And what are the two different forces? Midas Adin, opposite Midas HaRachamim. The call of Trua, opposite what? The call of the Shofar, the call of the Tkiyah. Who's going to win out? Who's going to prevail? Hopefully. The Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei Shivin HaSarachamim, and the call of Tkiyah, which of course is the call of Simcha and Rachamim. And that's why the Ramban in Chumash has an unbelievable name for Rosh Hashanah. He calls Rosh Hashanah Yom Din Berachamim. You ever hear that expression? You don't learn the Ramban in Chumash. That is not a good thing. Ramban in Chumash in Emor calls Rosh Hashanah Yom Din Berachamim, which means the following. It's essentially Yom Adin. It's a day of judgment. The entire world is being judged. Correct? Everyone's being adjudicated. My personal life, all of our personal lives, the entire world. But it's a day of Din, which is moderated by the Midas HaRachamim of Hashem Yisbarach, hopefully. Correct? What the Ramban calls in another language, Hamtokas Adin. What's Hamtokas Adin? Sweetening of Din. Yom Din Barachamim. As a matter of fact, the bracha that we make in one of the three additional brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah is a very famous bracha. It's a bracha on Malchios, a bracha on Zichronos, and a bracha on Shofros. What's the bracha on Shofros? Anyone remember? Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Kol Trua Samo Yisrael Barachamim. What does that sound like? Kol Trua Barachamim, Yom Din Barachamim. Are you familiar with this concept? The Ramban Chumash is the one who lays this out and spells it out, and it seems to be at the very heart of this Mizmor, is what is the whole idea of Tkiyah Shofar? Why are we blowing the Shofar? What is the Shofar supposed to do? The Shofar is supposed to be Ma'orer, hopefully the Midas HaRachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll just give you a further example of this idea, which is very well known. The Seder HaDvarim is, what is the most basic sound on Rosh Hashanah? Trua. Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Trua. That's the basic sound. But what's the problem? The problem is we don't know what exactly the sound of the Trua is like. The Gemara has two opinions, correct, as to what the sound of the Trua is. One possibility is, what is the Trua? The Trua is either Genuche Ganach, or the Gemara says Yilulei Yodel. You ever learned that sugi Rosh Hashanah? It's kedai to learn it. What is the difference between Genuche Ganach, Yilulei Yodel? One is called the Trua sound, one is called the Shvarim sound. So that the Gemara has a discussion, what the Trua is. Is it the short, nine short staccato notes, or is the note of Trua the Shvarim sound? However you do the Shvarim, Tahu, 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 or Tahutu, 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 or the Sfarim have their own Mahalach of what a Shvarim is, but that's the Shvarim, and we know what the Trua is, the nine short staccato sounds, you know what I'm talking about? Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, correct? But they are surrounded on both sides by what? By Tkiyah. Why are they being sandwiched by Tkiyah on both sides? The answer is, what are we trying to do? We are trying to, as you would say, no, you wouldn't say, but my children would say, we are trying to squish the Trua. Squelch, squish, compress, emasculate, eviscerate, expunge. We're trying to eliminate the Trua, which represents what? Din. And how are we surrounding it? We're surrounding it on both sides with what? With rachamim, with simcha. That's the idea. That's really the yesod of this entire mizmor. The yesod of the mizmor is hamtokas adin. We want to try to sweeten the din of Hashem using the tkiyah to hopefully surround the Trua. I'll give you another example of this idea also, which is very beautiful. And that is the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Hashanah. The first day we lain X, and the second day we lain Y. What do we lain the first day of Rosh Hashanah? We lain about... You tell me if that's correct. The answer is no. That's the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The first day we lain about the birth of Yitzhak. And the second day, the Akedas Yitzhak. Yitzhak represents what Midah according to Chazal? Yitzhak is the Midah. Abraham is what Midah? Midas ha chesed, mazel tov. Yitzhak is Midah, Pachad Yitzhak. There's a sefer called Pachad Yitzhak. Who wrote that sefer? Rav Huna Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Shiva Chaim Berlin. Pachad Yitzhak is a pasuk in Chumash, and Yitzhak is Midas Adin. And then we have Yaakov Avinu, whatever his Midah is, I'm not getting into it right now. So why am I invoking this idea? Because, in effect, the first day we learn of the birth of Midas Adin. Yitzhak is Midas Adin. Pachad Yitzchak. Al pi Kabbalah, those who are familiar since we started already, the Maral, we went to the Tanya, we also got to Kabbalah too. What's the difference between the Midah of Chesed and the Midah of Din? So the Midah of Chesed is the Midah of Hispashtus. Hispashtus means an openness. A person who's a Baal Chesed is obviously going to invite others to his home. He's going to extend of his beneficence to everyone. He's going to obviously be someone who will go out of his way to help anyone, like we have Rabbi and Yeshiva like that. Rabbi Yehuda Rablowski, his mother Chesed, his mother Begodesh Chesed. He's a Chetzah of Chesed. The whole Gabra is full of Chesed, and the greatest Chesed is what? Teaching Torah. That's a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara said Torah is Chesed al Hashoyna. There's Torah Shal Chesed. Torah Shal Chesed means the greatest Chesed you can do to another Jew is what's the greatest Chesed? Obviously, Achnas Sarkim is a great Chesed. Giving a Jew a square meal is a great Chesed. Giving him, a good Marzi. Marzipan, they called it. Marzipan, that's a great chesed. Someone asked me about Hashkacha Marzipan before, a few minutes ago. Those are chasadim. But what's the greatest chesed that one can do for another Jew? The greatest chesed is to illuminate his eyes with what? With the Maor HaTorah. That's the greatest chesed. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Rav Lasky should do. I'm not here to give a hesped for him. But whatever the case is, I'm saying, and all the rabbeim in the yeshiva, the gevaldik rabbeim, they do malei chesed, they're trying to be mekayim v'achelim and they sort the Torah. Okay, how did I get off of this? Avraham Avinu represents chesed, the meat of his pashtus, openness, correct? Why does Avraham Avinu openness? Because his door is open on all four sides, correct? He's machnes orchim, even after the bris milah, he's in pain, he's inside, the Gemara says in Shabbos, and yet he's busy looking for orchim, till Hashem appears in the scene. What about the Yitzchak? Yitzchak's the meat of pachad, gvura. That means hiskasus, says the Zohar. Hiskasus means he is completely covered, mysterious, an enigma, totally enveloped in a mist, in a cloud. We know very little about Yitzchak Avinu. We know many, many events that occur about Avraham Avinu. Yitzchak knows very little, the Torah tells us about it. He is hiskasus, midas hadin. So now, the birth of midas hadin takes place on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. But what happens, as you pointed out, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Namely, the second day, Tzvi, Akedas Yitzchak. We take Midas Adin, and what do? We squish it. That's the Akedas Yitzchak. That's again the same as son of Ramban, Yom Din Berachamin. Yes, that's true. Yeah. What I meant was, I'm pointing out that Akedah means we take the Din, and we try to sandwich it with Rachamin. That's why the Truah is placed between the Tkiah on one side, and the Tkiah on the other side. What the Gemara calls, Pshuta Lefanel, or Pshuta Lachareh. You know the Gemara Shoshana? Pshuta, a kol pashut. Many Rishonim say that the kol of the tkiyah should be a kol pashut. Sometimes you have people blow shofar who are not such mumchim in blowing shofar, where the, shall we say, the kol of the tkiyah undulates, goes up and down, it has crests, it swells, it rises. You know what I'm talking about? So it's kosher, because the Mishnah says kol ha-kol is kelem shofar, it's a machab shalonach. Every kol is kosher. However, it's not a chachila. Chachila should be a kol pashut. Anyway, that's just the Rechagam. I'm simply indicating just in one second, last second, that what we're trying to do in Rosh Hashanah, we're trying to be mamtik dino shagadosh baruch hu, to sweeten the din of Hashem Yisbarach. Correct? And what am I saying? That's what's going on in this pasuk. Oh, Elohim b'sruah. So initially, what happens at the very beginning? Yom truah. Elohim midas hadin. But what comes out of that kol shofar ultimately? Hashem midas harachamim. You know what I'm saying? This is the yisod of this pasuk. It's the yisod of this entire Yisbarach. But I'm only, I'm not only have begun. Just what you want to say?
How is the Akedah showing Midah Chesed if it's like
this? No, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that the Malach came down in HaShemayim, and what did the Malach say? Al Tisha Afiyot Kol Anar, Ve'atas Lo Mu'uma, Ki Adal Yedate Kirei Lo Kimata, Lo Chasach Tez Bin Chesu Chirimen, Hashem Ad Rachmonis. Yitzchak was not offered up as a carbon, but rather, the whole idea was that Hashem showed Yitzchak Rachamin, tremendous mercy. And that's what we ask Hashem on the Beschus HaKedah Yitzchak, Hashem should be Zohar Abris. That's the bracha, actually, that we mentioned in Zichronos, Rosh Hashanah, Baruch Atah Hashem, Zohar Abris. You say right before the bracha, Adam, if you remember, V'akedas Yitzchak, B'racham of Hayom, B'racham in Tiskor. Do you remember that? That right before the bracha, you have to know the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. You should know them inside out. They're the most beautiful tefillos. I'm probably going to discuss it tomorrow night. I do it every year, even though I don't think anyone listens to what I have to say. But whatever the case is, I will discuss it again, because it's a value. You should really be familiar with it. The Zohar Abris, remember the Bris that Hashem actually consummated with Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Okay. What do you want to say? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
What was the
Yitzchak was not offered up, his life was spared.
But the test he was spared.
Who said that? According to one day in Chazal, Afro Shag Yitzchak Tzobah V'Emil Agavi HaMizbeach. The Efer, the ashes of Yitzchak are piled up on the Mizbeach. That does not seem to be according to Pshuto Shel Mikra. Pshuto Shel Mikra is that Yitzchak, his life was spared. But I'm just using this as an example to show you the Ramban's concept of Din Berachamim and how it fits into this pasuk. Okay, I continue. Ol Elokim Besua, Hashem Mikol Shofar, Zamru Elokim Zameru, Zamru Lemalkeinu Zameru. What does that mean? Zamru Elokim. Again, we have the coupling here. They parallel each other, both sides. Zamru Elokim Zameru. Zamul Malkeinu Zameru. So first, the word Elohim parallels which word? Malkeinu. The first Zamru parallels the other Zamru. The second Zamru parallels the other Zamru. I continue. Ki Melach Kol Aretz Elohim Zamru Maskil. Hashem is Melach Kol Aretz Zamru Maskil. This is a difficult pasuk. How do you translate this pasuk? Make music. That's how he translates Zamru Maskil. Pillay Ploy. What? This word doesn't make any sense. Hear what he said? Hear what Josh said? He said, make music. Where do you see that word? Zamru Maskil. Make music. It's like a modern...
Kalbach edition.
Yeah, the Kalbach edition kind of. Pillay Ploy. This pasuk is very difficult to translate. Very difficult. Okay, I'm not focusing on it right now. I'm just pointing out to you the difficulty. You see the difficulty. What's the word maskil in general mean? Maskil the David, B'yaisai, V'amarot, Tfilo. Remember that pasuk in Tilim? It's a pasuk that's found all over Tilim. What's the word maskil? Forget about Tilim. What does the word maskil mean? When we speak about maskilin, Adam. Excellent. See, I can always rely on him. Maskilin were those who are enlightened people, especially during... shall we say, 100 years ago, many, many masculine people who felt that the Jewish religion and the Torah was very confining and very inhibiting, and they felt the need to go out into the world at large and become, shall we say, Renaissance men, and become knowledgeable of the secular world. And unfortunately, many of them, as a result of that, left Judaism and really rejected Judaism. The word maskil is used in that sense, but the word maskil, what's the shorish of the word? Seichel. So maskil means that someone who's a intellectual person, someone who's a person is a Baal Seichel. So what's the pshat over here? Ki melach kol aretz Elokim, Hashem is melach kol aretz, zamru maskil. And then you translate, make music. The Pilas art scroll. Of course, what they're saying is based on modern mepharshim. But you have to decide which mepharshim you're going to use in order to translate. But what's the pshat over here? Zamru maskil. So what apparently does it mean? Why are they making music? Who is making music? Or who is getting, shall we say, who is becoming exultant, happy? Why the exaltation? Who is responsible for this? What's happening over here? Something's happening over here. Namely, what's happening? Which is why they're making music? What? What are you saying here? Partially, or what are you saying? Oh, because there's a recognition of the Malchus of Hashem. Means apparently there's an enlightenment, thank you. And that's why they're making music. Excellent. I continue. Malach Elokim al-Goyim. Hashem rules over the goyim, Elokim Yashav Akisei Kodesho. And then at the end, Nedivei Amim Ne'asafu. What does Nedivei Amim refer to? Nedivei Amim is the aristocrats of the nations are gathering. Am Elokei Avraham. This also needs a lot of attention. Am Elokei Avraham. Ki Elokim Magine Eretz Ma'od Na'alo. A lot of things in this mizmor require examination. But I would like to ask you, if I were to ask you to divide this mizmor, as I told you earlier in the past, even though we haven't done much work on this yet, but we'll do some more on B'ez Hashem. In general, you always should try to divide the mizmor into its segments. And this way you're able to see an evolution that takes place in the beginning of the mizmor, some transformation occurs, and then towards the end of the mizmor, something has happened. So what would you say about this mizmor? You see a basis here to divide this mizmor? Yes, excellent. That is perhaps one segment of the Mizmar. And then we have, after that, and then where would you, is there another place to split it again or to present another segment, perhaps a second segment?
Yeah.
Correct, excellent. That's what I would say. That's why I like what Josh said. Make music. I love it. Zamru Maskil. I would not have translated it like that, even though that's one of the Mefarshim says in the Furish. Haskol always based on, I'll get to it. I won't get to it tonight, but I'll get to it. And then, finally, the third segment is starting from Malach Elokim Agoyim, Elokim Yashav, Akisei Kodesho. So now I will show you in these sheets. Maybe we'll give out these sheets, if you don't mind. And, you'll notice the way it was written, the Kavana, in order to... I'm not going to end up doing this whole thing today because I don't have enough time to really give it proper attention. How many psukim are there in this mizmor altogether? Yeah, so Lamatzeach and the Karach mizmor, as you can see, is the Hakdama. Notice also the way it was printed. Have you noticed the way it was printed? The way it was written? A lot of time was spent on the writing of this mizmor. Yes. By whom do you think? By yours truly. So you'll take a look at this page. Doesn't the page look funny?
That's good.
That's very good.
What am I trying to do in this page? Can anyone figure it out?
Yeah.
I'm trying to establish the structure of the Mizmor. That's my general interest. Notice, as already pointed out by both of you, there are three segments, thank you, there are three segments of this Mizmor. One segment ends with the word Selah. That's why it's in bold black. The next segment ends with the word Maskil in bold black. Following upon the heels of both of them, you have in Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Tes, after Selah, all Elohim Yisru Hashem Bekol Shofar, after Maskil, Malach Elohim Al Goyim Elohim Yashal Akisei Katsho, and finally in the third section, which of course, as you can see, is the shorter section, Lo Na'lo. This is also something that you should be cognizant of. What am I trying to show you over here? The first section is probably, in terms of words, is the wordiest. The second section is there are fewer words. And finally, in the third section, there is a paucity of words. What does that mean?
Minimal.
Yeah, I know that. I know what the word means. But what am I trying to articulate here? What idea is, in fact, taking place? In other words, what's taking place is there's some kind of struggle going on over here. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you. I thought by now you would have, shall we say, picked up on it. I'm sure you will in a second. Namely, what struggle is taking place? Look at the three segments and tell me the distinction between them. And there's something else here I want to point out to you. Of course, there's one shame, Hashem, that appears here quite a number of times. Which shame is that? Mazel tov. And how many times does that shame appear? Yes, seven times. Which is also, obviously, not done coincidentally or through some happenstance. But that's also the reason for the seven times. And we say the seven times, and I'll get to that in a little while. But I want to again continue on what I just said a moment ago. Let's start with Aleph. Aleph, whom exactly are we addressing? Who is being addressed? The answer is? The Goyim, correct. Kol Amim. So the Amim are being addressed, that we see. And what is happening? Or who is turning to them? Who is addressing them? Who do you say is addressing them? Either Hashem or perhaps Klal Yisrael is addressing Umas HaOlam. And what's happening here is Kol Amim Tikul Chaf Ariel Elokim B'Kol Rina. They're somehow clapping their hands or crying out to Hashem B'Kol Rina. And now we have the following. And notice the parallel in all three sections. Namely, the parallel is to Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Ches. And then to the second half of Pasuk Yud. Which word is parallel? The word Ki. Notice that Ki occurs three times. Ki Hashem El Yonora Melech God Al Kol Aretz. Then Ki Melech Kol Aretz Elokim. Then Ki Elokim Magin Aretz. What am I trying to show here? Is there any kind of evolution taking place in the three segments? Of course, the answer has to be yes. Otherwise, why would I do it? But what exactly is the nature of the evolution taking place here? In the first time, when the Goyim are being addressed, so we're addressing them and we're explaining to them why exactly they should be involved in what? In recognition of the Malchus of Hashem, which is what Rosh Hashanah is all about. And the answer is, Ki Hashem Elyo Nora. What does Nora mean?
Awesome.
Hashem is awesome. Melech Gadol HaKol Aretz. He is a, shall we say, a great king. Melech Gadol HaKol Aretz. And in order to make sure that the Goyim, shall we say, accept the Malchus of Hashem, what is going to be required? Yadber Amim Tachteinu. What does that imply? Yadber? There's going to be a use of force, correct? Yadber. Yadber means to, when you go ahead and you want to subdue someone else, how do you go about doing it? There are two ways of doing it. Either trying to do it pleasantly, the way Adam would speak to you, or doing it the way someone else in this room would do it. I don't want to mention whom. And they would do it with a bit more force, and they would probably be, in many respects, probably more successful. So, Yadber Amim Tachteinu Ulumim Tachas Ragleinu. There's a key word that occurs twice there. Correct. What does the word Tachas imply?
Under.
Under means what? That I am actually? Correct. I'm oppressing you. You're going to be, shall we say, shackled. Exactly. And then we continue. Yivchalonos Nachlaseinu is going Yaakov Asherayim Selah. That's obviously good for Klal Yisrael. We're getting a share. We're getting Eretz Yisrael, Beis Hamikdash, and then Olam Elokim Yisru Hashem Bekol Shofar. There's essentially here What midah is being used, shall we say, to bring the Umas Olam around? The answer is we're using din, might, we're using force, and that's essentially the tone of the entire first section. Look at the second section. Somehow the tone completely changes. Zamru Elokim Zameru, Zamru Lamalkeinu Zameru. So now again, translate that pasuk. You have the translation over there, pasuk Zayin.
Make music for God. Make music for our king.
So would you say that the tone here is a bit different than the tone in the first section?
Yeah.
I would say considerably different. Why? Because what word is being used over here? Not just once, not just twice, not just three times, but four times. Which word? Zemer, Zamru. That implies what? Right? Suddenly the tone is changing. Now is the tone of Zemer, a tone of song, a tone of Shira, and Zamru Elokim Zameru, Zamru Makena Zameru. Why? Again, Nacham Alki. But here, no longer Ki Hashem Elyon, no, Hashem is awesome. Yadber is going to, shall we say, compel you, coerce you. But rather, Ki Melech Kol Aretz Elokim. There's a recognition now that Hashem is Melech Kol Aretz. And therefore, make music! Zamru Maskil!
Is the music volume so far?
1 second. That's part of it. Obviously, the shofar is a musical instrument. Baharaya, bring me a ride. The shofar is a musical instrument. From our pasuk that we say every day, we're davening. Tikkun v'chodesh shofar is no raya. Even though the Gemara Shoshana quotes that pasuk, and the big shofar have a problem with that pasuk, what it means. No. But that pasuk is not the raya that I'm looking for. But Yosef said it's good. But what pasuk? I'll give you a hint. In the Pesukah Dezimra, that we say every day, Halu ka halu b'seka shofar. How do I know the shofar there means shofar is a musical instrument? Maybe it's shofar, as Yosef is saying. The answer is because what other items I mentioned there? The name of the chinar, the sof machal, the mina v'hugav, and symbols. Tilsel shama, tilsel suah. So you see that shofar there is a din of a what? Of a klei shir. There are other rayas that a shofar is a klei shir. But now, so that's what you asked. Who suggested that just now? Josh, you said that? So clearly the Tkiah Shofar, also in the hands of someone who knows what he's doing, can become a klei shir. But the second part of this mizmar, suddenly there's a tone of zemer. And no longer is Hashem utilizing, shall we say, force. Correct? Coercion. In order that the Umas HaOlam should be subject to his hegemony. But rather, there's more of a recognition on their part, they're maskim to somehow, and that's why Kimela Kalaratz Elokim Zamu Maskil, and that's why no longer Allah Elokim Bisu Hashem Kal Shofar, but Malach Elokim Agoyim Elokim Yosha Elokim Sekacho. And guess what happens now in the third section? Nidi Amim Ne'asofu Am Elokim Avram, according to Chazal, like Gemara in Sukkah. What does this refer to? Nidi Amim Ne'asofu Am Elokim Avram. Who's Am Elokim Avram? It may even refer to Gerim, people who are proselytes. People who convert to Judaism, they are called Am Elokei Avraham. You know the Mishnah in Maseches Bikurim. You're probably familiar with the Tzvi. You remember the issue with those who are Gerim? How could they go about? Could they go about bringing Bikurim and say the Pasha? They're included under Avraham Avinu's skirt, so to speak. Am Elokei Avraham. Ki Lelo. Again, another key. The third time around, this says this time Ki Lelo Ki Magin Eretz. And guess what? Now it's no longer Olokim Bisua Kind of Midas Adin. Malach Elokim is a bit milder, and finally, the old Nala means they finally come to the recognition of what? Of the greatness of Hashem. You see what I did over here? You know how many hours we spent on this? Probably 100 hours trying to figure out this mizmar. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. But what I'm trying to show you, and this mizmar is so classic because it really very much is the epitome, the quintessence of Kimat every P of the Rosh Hashanah. They all contain the same idea. I can show it to you in a few other places, except Akshav and Nizman Lasotetze. I don't have the time to do it. But you see what I'm getting at? And this has to be examined a bit further. I just can't do it right now. What shall I do? Shall I next week continue on this Mizmar? We'll be after Rosh Hashanah already. Maybe is there another time I could do something this week with this Mizmar? I know your schedules are very tight. What?
There's no part to do.
There's no Pasha Shia tomorrow night?
Well, there's no Pasha.
But tomorrow night, I'm discussing the Tfilas Rosh Hashanah tomorrow night. That's generally what I do when this situation occurs.
Maybe after Sifas. The Rosh will come to Sifas, maybe.
When, tonight? You are living in a dreamland. I can barely walk. You want me to come for Slichas tonight? I guess there is no other time. That's what I'm hearing. Chaval, because I want to spend a little more time on this, but I can't do it right now. See, next week, what I wanted to do on Monday, do we have Shia next week on Monday? Of course we do. We do, but I wanted to do another Perkatilim. But can I still do this Perkatilim? You wouldn't object to it. No, that's why I was going to do something on Yom Kippur. That's why I want to do the Mizmor that relates to Yom Kippur. I thought that would be more in order, but this needs a little more time. But what I wanted to show you here, you see what I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to show you there's an evolution taking place. And the evolution can be seen in a lot of different ways, especially in the tone and the language that's found in each of the three segments. And that's why the segments get shorter and shorter. Initially, Hashem has to utilize force and coercion, but then little by little they become more, shall we say, flexible and amenable, and then ultimately they basically are makir, the machos of Hashem. That's the whole idea of Malchiyah. That the Umas HaOlam, not only do we recognize the machos of Hashem, but they should as well. Okay, and that's really the shift that takes place with it, but it has to be examined much more carefully. Okay, you can hold on to this, and I'll see what I'll do in terms of the future. It is fascinating.